Thank you, Patrick. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone, and welcome to our conference call on the acquisition of Quirónsalud. With us today is Stefan. After this call, a replay and the transcript will be available on our website. The forward-looking statement and the disclaimer on page two of the presentation. With that, I hand over to Stefan.
Thank you, Markus. Good afternoon, good morning, buenos dias, and buenvenidos. Thank you for joining us today on a strategic acquisition that we have announced last night. I'm here to provide you with a bit of background and some help as to think about the future in our hospital business. I'll skip over the safe harbor statement on page two and want to lead you to the transaction highlights on slide number three. Quirónsalud, our acquisition target, is the leading private hospital operator in the Spanish market. It is the fourth largest hospital operator in Europe. It actually is the largest European hospital operator outside Germany. What we find in Quirónsalud is a strong and proven management team that we got to like over the course of our due diligence exercise, and that we have asked, and they have kindly committed to an ongoing commitment to Fresenius as a group. Between Helios and Quirónsalud, we have two market leaders in terms of size, as well as in terms of quality, and therefore the combination of the two forms the ideal platform to learn from each other and to adopt best practice in whatever we find at the other. Going forward, we also do expect substantial cost and revenue synergies. And given that this transaction will be largely financed with debt, it also does make a lot of sense financially. We do expect that right from the beginning, this transaction is going to be highly accretive to our group earnings and earnings per share. And whilst our net debt to EBITDA initially, at the time of closing, is expected to be ever so slightly above our target corridor of 2.5 to 3 times, we should be back within it already mid-2017. Just because it is highly accretive to our group earnings, and because we told you last February when we announced our midterm targets for the group that those would be adjusted for any major acquisition, it is our intention to publish new and revised midterm targets for the group as part of our presentation publication of our full year 2016 results. As a snapshot, on the right-hand side, you see some images of the hospitals that are about to join us in the group. Top right is the Fundación Jiménez Díaz in Madrid. In the middle, you have a rendering of the new hospital in Sevilla. Bottom right is the Hospital Tecnon in Barcelona. They should give you an impression as to what the state of investment is also at these hospitals, but I'll come back to CapEx and depreciation in the later financial section of this presentation. Over to slide four, where I have already talked about the market position of Quirónsalud in Spain. And to put a few more numbers to this, what we're talking about is 43 hospitals across Spain, 39 outpatient centers, about 300 occupational risk prevention centers, and that all should lead to sales in 2016 to the tune of 2.5 billion euros. In total, we're talking about 6,600 beds and 35,000 new colleagues that we can welcome to the Fresenius Group. In case you were wondering how it's possible to generate that much sales with so little beds, the Spanish market is different from what we've been used to in Germany and also to many other parts of Europe. There is quite a lot that is going on in an outpatient rather than an inpatient setting. Now, come back to some of the characteristics in the Spanish market a bit later on. In any case, there is a substantially higher number of outpatient admissions at Quirón Salud, namely 9.4 million, relative to Helios, where we have approximately 3.4, and at the same time, a substantially lower number of inpatient admissions, approximately 320,000 relative to the 1.3 million that we're having at Helios. Top right, Quirón Salud is also the undisputed quality leader in the Spanish market. And in the frequently published rankings, typically at least four of the Quirón Salud hospitals rank among the top 10. And typically also a Quirón Salud hospital is leading the ranks in their particular region. Given the number of hospitals, given the reach that Quirón Salud has developed, there's also fairly substantial economies of scale. Think about that in terms of purchasing. Think about that also in terms of contracting with private insurance companies. And I'll come back to that later. Footprint, revenue sources, and also revenue growth I will cover on separate slides. Before I come on to those, I want to quickly, on page 5, make you acquainted with the corporate history of Quirón Salud. I think that is important also to understand our financial projections. What you see on slide 5 is that Quirón Salud goes back to the merger between the number one hospital group in Spain at the time, IDC Salud, and the number two, Quirón. And that goes back to 2014. So as you would imagine, the number one and the number two in a market coming together, that creates quite substantial synergy potential. And we are in the middle of materializing the synergy benefits that have been well initiated already. What you find then under the new name Quirón Salud is further market consolidation. Top right, you can see some acquisitions that took place over the course of 2014, 2015, and also earlier this year. Hospitals in Madrid, Palma, Sevilla, to name a few, have been added to Quirón Salud's network. Bottom right is a further initiative to open up a new segment within Quirón Salud. That is the rapid consolidation over the course of 2015 of the occupational risk prevention segment in Spain. A number of providers have become available, and Quirón Salud was bold enough and far-sighted enough, I believe, to seize that opportunity and to grab the leading providers in that segment, and with that, a leading market share. Going forward, this ORP segment is going to be profitable in its own right, but we also do believe that there are quite substantial synergy benefits between occupational risk prevention and the mainstream hospital business. I was talking about the nationwide footprint before, and I want to get you a bit more details over on slide 6. What you see on that map of Spain is that we are everywhere where the population is. The darker blue the shading is, the larger the number of inhabitants. And the gray circles, obviously, demonstrate where a Quirón Salud hospital is located. So you can see that we are primarily located in the large metropolitan areas of Madrid and Barcelona, but that we also have a good representation in Bilbao, Zaragoza, Valencia, Sevilla, Malaga, on Mallorca, as well as in the Canaries. So this is where the bulk of the population, this is where the bulk of the economic wealth is located. That is where also our hospitals are. Bottom right, you see one of the latest additions to Quirón Salud's network. It's a newly built hospital in Mostoles, just outside the southwest of Madrid. Over to page 7, where we wanted to make you familiar with a few key characteristics of the Spanish healthcare market. And the overall healthcare spending of 9%, there Spain is in very good company, but as you also can see, there is quite some pickup potential relative to the likes of Germany and France. For the other three characteristics, the key takeaway is that there is a much more pronounced outpatient setting in Spain than elsewhere. You have a well below average number of hospital discharges. The hospital bed density is substantially below Germany and France in particular. And that as a consequence, the average length of stay is also substantially below other European countries. So again, quite a lot that is taking place in an hospital setting in Germany is done in an outpatient sense in the Spanish market. Over the page, we wanted to make you familiar with private health insurance system in Spain. And to start with, at the top, first, the national healthcare system that is in Germany, funded by social security contributions. In Spain, it is tax funded. But very importantly, everybody in Spain has this national insurance coverage. Everybody has access to a public hospital. What then everybody can choose is access to private health insurance coverage. Access to private health insurance coverage is substantially easier than in Germany, where first of all, you need to get over a certain income threshold. The other key difference you see at the bottom of the page, private health insurance is substantially cheaper than what it is in Germany, and therefore, as a consequence, the penetration is substantially higher. We do see above average growth in the Spanish population taking out private health insurance contracts, and that may easily be a reflection of the perceived superior quality in private hospitals, and also substantially shorter waiting times in private hospitals. Both, in our minds, is a consequence of the easier access to capital and higher level of investment in those private hospitals. Over on page 9, we're now going to show you what the revenue breakdown at Quirón Salud is. I was talking about public health insurance, and that you see in the top right corner. And there, with 34% revenue contribution, this is primarily those public-private partnerships that Quirón Salud has entered into. Those are 4 in Madrid, 1 in Barcelona. It is long-running contracts, concessions, to run and operate hospitals. Most of them run until 2041. And there, Quirón Salud gets assigned responsibility for certain coverage areas within the Madrid and Barcelona region. There, Quirón Salud gets a capitation fee for any inhabitant of that coverage area, but has the opportunity to generate incremental revenues by attracting patients from outside the coverage area that has been assigned to them. What we have found is that there is a very steady, sustainable, net positive balance of patients that come to Quirón Salud hospitals from outside their assigned coverage area, relative to relatively few hospitals that are being lost to other service providers. This is a trend that we very much expect to continue based on the right level of investment, leading to shorter waiting times and leading to a superior medical quality. So the public revenue is a mix of that capitation fee and activity-related reimbursements, basically on a DRG level, as you know it from the German setting. Top left, 43% of revenue is made up of privately health-insured patients. And as I told you, the number of those patients has grown, is expected to grow. When we look in particular at the aging of the private insurance policy holders, the majority of them are still relatively young and will only over time get into the age where the propensity to hospitalizations is going to increase. Quirón Salud has contracts with all the major private insurance companies in the country, and we would very much expect that to continue going forward. Having a contractual basis with Quirón Salud is actually very important for the private insurance companies in order to be in a position to sell their policies to the interested population. Bottom right, I was talking about Quirón Salud's initiative to consolidate the occupational risk prevention market. There, we're now owning more than 300 centers across Spain and have, via contracts with corporates, around 4 million employees under contract. Our centers have performed more than 1.7 million checkups on an annual basis. And whilst there is and must not be a direct link between these occupational risk prevention centers and the Quirón Salud hospitals, still, if there is a finding as part of a checkup, we there have an ideal platform to make those patients aware of the benefits of being treated at a nearly located Quirón Salud hospital. With 8%, the smallest contribution to the overall revenue is self-pay. That is traditionally a strength of Quirón that we now also would like to roll out to the formerly IDC Salud hospitals, and we would also expect some medical tourists taking advantage of the relatively low cost but high quality in our hospitals. Having gone through the breakdown of revenues, let me tell you where going forward we do expect growth to come from, and that is shown on slide 10. When I was showing you the key characteristics of the Spanish market, I was pointing to the fact that the healthcare expenditure per capita is well below the EU average, and that there is also quite meaningful pickup potential in the number of beds in the country. whereas Germany arguably has already too many beds, I would still argue that in Spain there is some unfilled demand. I was also referring to the close interaction between the inpatient and outpatient setting, and what we found in our conversations with Quirón Salud's management is that they master this in an excellent fashion, and that many of the barriers between those two segments in the healthcare market that still do exist in many countries, Germany only being one of them, are much better mastered by Quirón Salud in Spain, and that we can expect this trend to continue to drive revenue in Quirón Salud also going forward. We're not banking on a growing number of PPP projects, at least that is not part of our projections, but what we would very much expect is that the capitation fee is going to grow at least in line with inflation, and that we can also continue to attract patients from outside the coverage area that has been assigned to us, and that with the DRG-based reimbursement, we can grow revenue at a very attractive pace. Given the pickup potential that we do see in the Spanish market, we would like to continue to expand our existing facilities. Do bear in mind that one of the key differentiation criteria for Quirón Salud are the very short waiting times for patients. We'd like to keep it that way, and that is why whatever is underway already in terms of adding to existing capacities, we will gladly see through, and we will also be very open to pursuing other opportunities. And this very same applies to greenfield projects, setting up new hospitals. And that also here, given the relatively low density of hospital beds relative to the population, Spain is substantially more open to greenfield projects, whereas in Germany, basically you don't stand a chance to add new capacity to the market. And with all due respect, that also shouldn't be necessary, given the number of hospital beds per capita that we do have. But greenfield projects have been a feature in the past and should also be a feature of growth going forward. When I led you through Quirón Salud's corporate history, I was also referring to five hospital acquisitions in the recent past. And let me say that the Spanish private hospital market is substantially more fragmented than the German one, and that ongoing consolidation of that market should be a feature going forward. At the same time, let me tell you, as you would expect, first and foremost, and in the near term, we will focus on the proper and sound integration of Quirón Salud into Fresenius, learning from each other, and therefore further consolidation moves within Spain are near-term, not a proactive priority, whereas at the same time we're certainly open to pursue opportunities should they be brought to us. However, in the medium term, I would very much expect that also the Spanish market can be consolidated a bit further. Over on page 11, with our financial outlook, and you see substantial growth, in particular on the right-hand side where we talk about the EBITDA. I believe it was very important to show you what the corporate history recently has been for you to understand that revenue growth as well as EBITDA growth is not just organic, but that there also have been acquisitions that have made a contribution, but that in particular when it comes to EBITDA growth, synergies that have arisen out of the recent corporate transactions do play a role here. So when we look at EBITDA on the right-hand side and take the 2015 actual of 406 million as a basis, then basically what we're talking about is 60 to 70 million euros of growth towards the end of this year. And to a large degree, I'd say 25 to 30 million roundabout, that is synergy projects within Chiron Salute. And those are, on the one hand, about half synergy projects that date back to 2015, and when 16 we're just going to get the full year effect. And about the other half is new synergy projects that have now arisen in connection with the 2016 synergies. Given the revenue growth with, in our minds, a sufficient staffing, we have quite meaningful scope for operating leverage. And therefore, over and above the, say, 25 to 30 million euros of synergies, we also have that operating leverage to the same degree. Lastly, we do see the 2016 acquisitions contribute approximately 10 million euros. If we then look at 2017 and our projection that we're going to generate 520 to 550 million euros of EBITDA, pretty much the same characteristics do apply to the implied EBITDA growth of, say, 60 to 70 million from midpoint to midpoint. Synergy projects within Chiron Salute dating back to the original merger between IDC Salute and Chiron, as well as synergies between the ORP acquisition targets, as well as the newly acquired private hospitals, they should amount, again, to approximately 25 to 30 million euros. This is primarily cost synergies, to a lesser degree, revenue synergies. But given that we have underlying organic growth, we can also, and again, rely on operating leverage to the tune of 25 to 30 million, and a further 10 million euros from acquisitions. In 2016, that was to pretty much the same degree the annualization effect of 2015 synergies and the new contributions. In 2017, what we do find is pretty much the annualization effect of the new additions to the group from 2016. What we have not put into our model are greenfield projects in 2017 and are also no further acquisitions in 2017. The contributions of any of those would come on top. What you can see is that we are relying on a fairly steady margin increase, and that the EBITDA margin from around 17% in 2015 is expected to reach towards 20% in 2017. I would argue that that is a very attractive margin level. It is actually superior to the one that we find at Helios. And it is a reflection of the very strong market position that Chiron Salute commands. I'll briefly put my CFO hat on, and on pages 12 and 13, I want to lead you through a few financial characteristics of this acquisition. What you can see is that depreciation is pretty much comparable to what we do find at Helios. It's about 4% of sales. At the bottom of the page, you can see that also CapEx, in our minds, runs at approximately 4% of sales. We do find after our due diligence that all of the Quirón Salud hospitals are in very good shape, and that there is nothing coming out of the block that we would have to do that is of an extraordinary fashion. A prominent feature is the amortization charge that we do expect, and my caveat is that the 150 million euros that we put in here is on a very preliminary basis. The final number can only be determined after we've gone through a purchase price allocation exercise, and that will take a few more months. And look, that amortization charge is the flip side of something that in my mind is extremely positive, and that is long-running contracts. Not only the PPP concessions that I was referring to, also contracts with certain minimum revenues that Quirón Salud has entered into with private insurance companies. So just as much as that gives us planning certainty and reduces volatility, it is therefore an asset in its own right that needs to be capitalized and amortized over its life. It is a non-cash charge, and next to those contracts and concessions that I was referring to, we also have the brand name that we're very fond of and that we want to preserve absolutely in the Spanish market, and that therefore also needs to be capitalized and amortized. Again, our best guess at this point in time is that we're talking about 150 million euros. This could easily fluctuate by 10 or 20, even 20% up or down, which is why a bit further down on that page, we gave you an earnings after tax before that amortization charge, so that you have a better feeling not only for what the cash earnings are going to be like, but also what earnings power is before that fluctuating, potentially fluctuating, non-cash charge. There, we're thinking in 2017 about more than 200 million euros. Why is that? Because we very much believe into our EBITDA projections, and we very much think that the transaction will be predominantly debt financed. We have, and you may think that that is a conservative assumption, worked on the basis of 2% cost of debt. I'd say if you think about a traditional maturity schedule, 2% is actually conservative. We are keen to finance this with very long maturities, and therefore we are prepared to pay up for those. And that is why 2% has found its way into our model. The tax rate, you should work on the basis of 25%. I was already talking about the earnings after tax, even including the amortization charge. We will have a very meaningful accretion to our earnings and our earnings per share already from 2017 on. Over the page on 13, total consideration on a cash and debt-free basis is 5.76 billion euros. And if you believe, just as we do, in our 520 to 550 million euros EBITDA projection for 2017, that would equate to a 10.8 times EBITDA at the midpoint of that range. That means that we're getting this at a quite meaningful discount to the to the multiple that we were paying for the Rhön hospitals. I think on the one hand, that is appropriate, given that we are entering into a new market. On the other hand, with Kiron Salute, we're getting a company that commands a remarkable market position, is a quality leader, has margins that are in excess of what we're seeing at Helios, and in particular in excess of what we were acquiring at Rhön at the time. And we're also getting a company that in our minds has superior organic growth potential relative to what we do see in the German market. I already mentioned the vast majority of the purchase price is going to be debt financed. We have made it a point to demonstrate also to you that management's interests are very much aligned with ours, and therefore we have asked Victor Madeira, Kiron Salute CEO, to take 400 million euros as part of the consideration that accrues to him in the form of Fresenius shares. That is a capital increase. 6.1 million new shares approximately have been issued exclusively to him as part of a capital increase against contribution in kind. Victor has gladly accepted and has also agreed to a two-year lockup period. Net debt to EBITDA is temporarily going to increase above our target corridor, but already given our strong delevering capabilities and the EBITDA generation at Kiron Salute, we believe but that by mid-2017 we'll be back within the range and more towards the bottom end of the range again by 2018. My last slide on page 14, that should demonstrate to you that we are the right owners of Kiron Salute because we also do bring something to the party, so to say. We would very much treat our new colleagues with the respect that they deserve, given that they are market leaders as well in terms of size and quality. And we are of the firm view that it is quite a lot that we can learn from them, just as much as there are quite a few areas where Kiron Salute can learn from us at Helios. So on the right-hand side, those tools that Helios has developed and has proven over time, so in particular the peer and management reviews on the medical quality side as well as on the commercial side, where always best practice practitioners in hospitals do visit other hospitals and alert them to improvement potential. That is something that we have the intention of making our friends at Kiron Salute more acquainted with. Also, the IQM methodology, where Helios is the founding member, and where in a standardized fashion we measure complication rates, mortality rates, medical quality in particular, is something that we would like to introduce Kiron Salute to. As you can imagine, given the combined purchasing volume between Kiron Salute and Helios, we do believe that there are advantages to be capitalized on when it comes to procurement. And that is something that we're going to do a deep dive in the coming weeks and months. Where Kiron Salute has particular strengths, that are the three bubbles that you see on the left-hand side. I was referring to the average length of stay in Spain being well below that of the EU and that of Germany. Kiron Salute excels here in particular and is about 2 days better than the Spanish average. And we do believe that there are quite some processes that we can learn from and that ideally we could adopt at our Helios hospitals in Germany. Same applies to being more patient and customer-friendly when it comes to reducing waiting periods. That starts with electronic processes already when the patient is at home, but goes also into the hospital where a patient just gets substantially more and better information than we furnish them with today. And here again, there is quite a lot that we believe we can import from Spain. Also when it comes to new means of electronic communication with our patients, there is a very well-developed app that Quirón Salud has in operation and that we will test to its adaptability to our German system. Lastly, I want to alert you to the fact that Spain is the most popular tourist country for Germans. There are about 10 million German tourists every year that come to Spain, and there is a very meaningful number of German immigrants that live permanently in Spain. We do know from our market research that quite a lot of them travel back to Germany because up until now, at least, they feel more comfortable there, in particular given a certain language barrier. We do have in mind to capitalize on that potential, both of the immigrants as well as for the tourists, and we would like to make sure that there is better German speaking capability, in particular in the touristy areas where Quirón Salud has hospitals. All in all, our conservative estimate is that those incremental synergies, and they are not reflected into our 2017 projections at all, will in the medium term amount to 50 million euros per annum pre-tax. I'm asking for your understanding that we have not broken them down any further. It remains to be seen where those synergies will actually accrue, whether more on the Quirón Salud or more on the Helios side. And I promise we're going to provide you with an update on this in the not too distant future. That concludes my prepared remarks. I hope what has come across is our enthusiasm for this transaction. I think there is quite a lot that can be done to improve each other's operations. We already have a history of learning from each other as part of the Rhön integration. And we will do just the same, if not a better job, when it comes now to integrating Quirón Salud into Helios and Fresenius. Thank you for now, and I'll be happy to answer your questions now. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now starting the question and answer session. And our first question today comes from the line of Veronika Dubajova of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and Stefan, thank you for taking my questions. I have two. The first one is just on the Quirón Salud business, and to what extent does the profitability vary by revenue stream to revenue stream? And as you think about those different businesses that you have, would you expect the contribution from those to be similar by, let's say, 2020? Or is your expectation that private health will grow significantly faster than PPP? Any color you can give on that, that would be really helpful. And then I have one follow-up after that.
Thank you, Veronica. The profitability does vary between the individual business lines, and I was referring to the fact that the occupational risk prevention is profitable in its own right, but the margin that we do find there is below the average of the group, probably as you would expect, because the value added there is also the lowest. At the same time, I would expect, as I was referring to, that this segment is going to grow potentially at an above average rate going forward, given also that we have synergy potentials between these ORPs and our hospitals. Again, it'll come down to where we're actually going to account for those synergy revenues. Maybe surprisingly, revenues from the public side are more profitable than those from the private side. In particular, those extra, we call them free choice patients that we can attract, are fairly profitable, and therefore it is by no means that maybe conventional wisdom would tell you that the private segment is more profitable than the public one. Growth potential, organically, I was referring to it, in my mind, is slightly superior to what we do have in mind in Germany. I would say that between those, public and or private, there are nuances in terms of the growth potential. Arguably, private will show a bit higher growth than public.
Excellent. Thank you. And my second question is just to what extent are you thinking of this going forward, so in the medium term, as a platform for further acquisitions within Spain as opposed to a platform for expansion into, let's say, Portugal or Latin America? Is that something at all that you've considered and thought about in the medium to long term? And I'll get back into the queue after that.
Veronica, I think you expect the answer that you're getting now, and that is we're conservative people at Fresenius, and therefore one step at a time. This is the largest acquisition in the company's history, and we'd be reckless, I believe, if we already thought ahead of next major steps now that we have just announced this acquisition. The very clear focus is going to be on a sound and proper integration and making sure that the projections that we have put in front of you will also materialize. And that is also why I was talking about consolidation within Spain only as something that we're going to take on, in the medium term, at least proactively. I want to make sure that we get this right. Many of you will know that for quite a while I've been a bit skeptical about cross-border synergies. I have been utterly convinced in the meantime. I hope that does come across. And therefore, once my expectations have been met, I'd also be generally open to look ahead and to look elsewhere. But frankly, I'm not going to waste energy on this until we have really made real our expectations here.
Understood. Perfectly clear. Thank you very much.
And our next question comes from the line of Julien Dormois of Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Stéphane. I basically have one question which relates to the tariff negotiation that you're going to face in Spain going forward. I was just looking for a bit more understanding about how the tariffs will evolve between the private segment, the public segment, and maybe also the self-pay, how we're going to deal with that, especially coming from the German background where we used to look only at the headline figure published every year. So just looking for a bit more understanding on this one.
Julien, we've got to differentiate between the public and the private sector. For public, we have a long-running concession in those PPPs. It basically foresees an inflation adjustment, but also an adjustment for any additional service that we may take on in the hospital. So in the past, there is a history that we can get a reimbursement or revenue growth that goes beyond the inflation. We would expect that for private, price increases are going to be at a not too dissimilar level to what we're used to in Germany. Conservatively, I would say 2 to 3% per annum again, I would say that Quirón Salud is in a fairly favorable negotiating position vis-a-vis the private insurance companies, and that the experience that we've made in the recent past points to a fairly steady increase given their negotiation abilities.
Okay, and maybe just as a follow-up, in the recent years, you've indicated the kind of organic growth that has been delivered by Quirón Salud. Any chance you can give us a sense of how the volume and the price have been within that 5%?
It is about an even split between those two, with minor fluctuations.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Tom Jones of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two, really. The first is, maybe if we could just put my credit analyst hat on for a minute. When you talked about wanting long maturities for the debt package, you've historically sort of gone for sort of 7-year debt plus or minus a year or two with your past acquisitions. If I look at the price you paid and the sort of potential cash flows from this deal, it looks to me like the amortization period for this entire acquisition might be a little bit longer than that. So when you say long, are you typically talking about the same long that you have used in the past, or would you perhaps push out to 10 or maybe even 15-year debt with this transaction if that's available for you? And then, kind of following on from the duration question, as regards this incremental indebtedness and your existing indebtedness, does this push you close, and by close perhaps I mean within, say, 10% on any particular ratio, to the covenants on any of your existing debt package, or do you have a bigger headroom on the remaining debt? And then I have a kind of follow-up question that I'll come back to.
Thank you, Tom, and I was not aware that also you are wearing two hats. Traditionally, you're right, the majority of our debt was in a 5 to 7 year time frame, and I'm also looking to 5 and 7 year debt as part of the financing now. But as much as I can, I want to get, given the very favorable interest rate environment now, get into 10 year, and given our recently reached investment grade status, potentially also 15 year debt. That is at least the plan. Whether we're going to get meaningful demand for something like this in the 15-year maturity, that remains to be seen. We will obviously be a bit price sensitive, but at the same time, I think 50-year debt in the current interest rate environment to refinance such a project is a good idea. And that is why specifically I said 2% as the average cost of debt may sound conservative to you. I have been sort of optimistic of our ability also to take on meaningful portions of 10 and 15 year debt.
Sure. And then on the covenants?
Very meaningful headroom, and don't think that this constrains us in pursuing anything else that we would like to pursue.
Okay, perfect. That's very clear. And then the follow-up question, I guess, is a bit more general about the Spanish market. If I look at what's happened in Spain over the last 2 to 3 years, the market for Spanish hospitals has been relatively well offered. And if we look at the price you've paid, I don't think anyone would agree that you've paid an eye-watering price. It looks a fairly reasonable or even a very good price, which sort of begs the question as to why, in your eyes, do you think the Spanish market has been better offered than perhaps other markets around Europe? And I guess the sort of context of that question is, where do the main operating risks lie in Spain? Is it political? Is it volume? Is it pricing? You know, maybe some just incremental color on the risk side of the equation, which I'm sure you've considered in great detail. So.
Tom, I do believe that we have paid, on the one hand, a full and attractive price. At the same time, I don't think that we have paid for the synergies that we're going to bring to the party, and therefore, in combination, I do think that both strategically and financially, it does make a ton of sense.
Sure.
I'm not sure whether Spain has been better or worse offered in the past. The risk factors that we have looked at are those PPP concessions. We, after our diligence, came away with the fact that in our minds they offer substantially more up than downside. We have looked at payment terms, i.e. working capital development, and when you think about the target of around 40 days for Helios, obviously that is something in Spain that is on a completely different level. There we are well into the triple digits. At the same time, we do see quite substantial stability on that level. And given the ongoing recovery of the Spanish economy, we have little to no doubt that at the end of the day, we're also going to get paid. That applies to the regions as well as to the private hospital operators. We have looked at our competitive position. We have looked in particular at barriers to entry, given that I was referring to a substantially lower level of regulation, but still do believe that the franchise of Quirónsalud, its attractiveness to the medical professionals, is a quite meaningful barrier to entry, and that therefore this relatively lower level of regulation rather provides opportunities for us than risks. We obviously spent quite some time on understanding where those past synergy projects were coming from, what the level is of really making good on prior commitments, and went away satisfied that there is actually a history of rather over than under achievement.
Perfect. And then just very quickly, a follow-up more generally. In the past, you've not stripped amortization of acquired intangibles out of your EPS number and published a separate number. Is that something you may do in the future, or something we should expect whenever you're post the closure of this deal?
Tom, this is rather meant to be a help, a guidance at this early stage of the transaction. I want to come back to a statement that I made a while ago, but on numerous occasions, and that is that we don't want to be a below-the-line company. So I guess the focus will remain on a fully loaded earnings number, but I reserve the right to inform you from time to time about the level of the amortization charge. But frankly, implicitly, you will also find that as part of our cash flow statement.
Great. That's very helpful. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Michael Jungling of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you kindly for taking my questions. I have three. Firstly, why did you decide to allocate capital towards hospitals rather than entering another area of medical devices? I think currently there's a number of assets potentially for sale, so therefore you have a choice between those two segments. Question number two is on tax. Can you highlight what the carry-forward tax loss is that can be utilized, and how does this actually impact the 25% tax rate that you've guided to in the presentation? And then the last question is just on return on invested capital. What is your sort of ROIC outlook for this asset? Would you have done the deal if the interest rates were higher rather than being currently sort of at all-time lows? Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. To your first question, you know that we are keen to grow all of the four businesses that Fresenius is currently active in. You heard my answer to Tom's question about financial flexibility and the covenants, and therefore my not flippant but considered answer is the one doesn't rule out the other. And just because We have now gone for a strengthening of our hospital business, which frankly has been flagged for almost 2 years now as a potential plan. That doesn't mean that we are not keen on further expanding also our product business. What I have said in the past, and also in the recent past, about our long-term and strategic ambition to get also for Kabi to a more even footing geographically, that remains absolutely true. There are a few usable tax loss carry-forwards. They will be, they have been well researched and have found to be valid. Again, they don't have a meaningful effect on the 25% ongoing tax rate that I have guided you to. For modeling purposes, that is truly the number that I use. And from a ROIC perspective, this transaction also does make a ton of sense. I have very rarely seen an acquisition where already in year one we have the chance to earn our WACC, and I guess that, yes, we truly stand that chance. And that in the not-too-distant future, this transaction will be accretive to the group ROIC. The answer, whether I would have done this also at higher interest rate levels, is absolutely yes, because we have done transactions at similar ROICs also in the past at a higher interest rate level. And frankly, Michael, also intellectually, in my mind, higher interest rates are always going hand in hand with higher inflation. And therefore, higher interest rate would also lead us to higher revenue growth. So in a nutshell, we can discuss that separately. But in a nutshell, the answer is yes, absolutely.
Thank you. And a brief follow-up. Are there any meaningful minority interests that Kieron has in the P&L?
Quite a few. In total, not meaningful.
Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Jamie Clark of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Three questions, please. Firstly, does Kieron Salud own all of its properties or does it lease any of them? Secondly, was this a competitive process and there are a number of bidders? And thirdly, the founders locked up in terms of his Fresenius shares for the first 2 years. Is he remaining, has he given any other commitment to remain with the business in a management role beyond that? Or is he remaining there at all? Thank you.
Thank you. The vast majority of the real estate is owned. As far as we know, that was a bilateral process. At least we are not aware of any competing bidder. Victor Madera, we would very much like him and expect him to stay on indefinitely. It's just that we need to put a time frame on the lockup agreement, and there we have gone for 2 years. That should be seen independently of his management role.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Hans Bostrom of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Stefan. I had a couple of questions, if I may. Going to the private side, the 43% of revenues, could you give us a sense whether there are any capitation revenues in that, or is it just simply fee for service, all of it? Secondly, has there been any noticeable impact in terms of revenue growth acceleration as Spain has come out of the economic crisis, particularly on that side? And thirdly, why is private insurance or health insurance in Spain so much cheaper than it is in Germany and in many other markets. If that, it would be very helpful to understand that. You did mention earlier that there was relatively young beneficiaries, and is that the reason for it, and therefore we could expect private health insurance to become progressively more expensive over time. And second big question I have is, what is, well, not so big question, but what is the market share in the regions in which Quirón Salud operates? Thank you.
Hans, good to talk to you. In the private segment, I can confirm that there is no capitation fee, but it is a DRG-like fee for service. Your second question, we're talking about the private insurance and why it is so cheap. It is a, that's your third question. That'll remind me of your second one in a minute. It is a different system, and whereas if you go back to that slide that I briefly went over, whereas in Germany you get a completely alternative private insurance, the private insurance in Spain has to be seen complementary to your basic public coverage. So you have typically very short maturities. It is very easy to switch. Many of the services are still being covered by public insurance, so in particular the drugs, and therefore it is a different system, and that explains the price differential and the easier access. With that access, or excuse me, with that private insurance, you get access to not only your doctor of choice directly, but also to private hospitals. That is something that has become of a growing importance, because frankly our observation for Spain is just the very same as for Germany. Public hospitals are underinvested, it just feels better, and it has become increasingly popular to be treated at private hospitals. Your second question, Hans.
That was what the impact of coming out of the economic crisis has been in terms of your revenue volumes, or price for that matter, on that private business. Has there been a noticeable acceleration because of economic factors?
It has gone slightly up, but frankly not very meaningful. And I would say just as much as the economy comes. We would continue to portray the hospital business as something that is very non-cyclical, and we would also argue that at the very same time when the overall economy is faltering, private health insurance becomes even more popular. So a bit of that negative correlation we have found in the past. As to your fourth, in any case, it's not meaningful. And as to your fourth question, I can't give you market shares for particular regions. What I can tell you, and that is testament to something that I said earlier about the fragmentation of the Spanish hospital market, is that Quirón Salud's share of the private hospital market as a whole is a mere 14%. Remember, Helios's share in Germany's private market is above 30%.
And can I just confirm that Spain is still a purely private-to-private market, so there are no public patients in the private hospitals at all?
With the exception of emergencies, that is true.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, as there are no further questions, I'd like to pass the call back to Mr. Marcus Georgi for any closing remarks or statements.
Many thanks for your attention and joining today's conference call. If there are any more questions, please do not hesitate to contact the IR team. Thank you and goodbye.
I hope our enthusiasm has come across. We're very excited about this. We'll be on the road the next days, and hope to see many of you and can go into more detail. But also, as Marcus just said, give us a call, and we'll try and help you out. Thank you for now. Have a good day. Bye-bye.